Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, we are continuing on in our series, Sons and Daughters, and today I'm going to be talking about shame. Talk about shame and pride. And, you know, last week, as I said, about knowing who we are as sons and daughters and walking in our realization of us being heirs is what changes our lives to walk in the fullness of who we are in Christ. And the problem, one of the real problems with I guess our lives and what we deal with is that we have this thing because of the fall, because of sin, this thing called shame. We have this thing called pride. And it keeps us from coming to God like we should. And I just want to go over a couple of little examples because you're like, you know, these are hard things to talk about because nobody wants to admit it, right? I mean, that's the whole thing with shame. It wants to hide. But I'm going to tell you that you're not alone, because every single one of us has this same issue. We all have to take this to God, every single one of us. It's not like there's just a couple of people, there's a few. No, it's every single one of us. It may look different or come out for a different reason, but we all have this, and we all need to take our pride and our shame to God and submit it to Him. And here in the Bible, you can see like over and over, but like a couple of stories. I mean, you remember the story of the woman at the well that Jesus comes and speaks to her, and He's like, hey, you know, what's going on? And, you know, she's been married 5 times. He basically tells her whole life story. She's like blown away, and she's ashamed because she's messed up. She hasn't been able to get it right. She doesn't know how to react. She's surprised that Jesus is even talking to her, and she's in this place where she's reaching out in different ways to continue on, even going further and further into the wrong direction because she's already so far gone, she thinks. And that shame pulls her even further away from where she should be. You know, King David in the Old Testament, this amazing man, this guy that was called by God to be king, an amazing guy, had rule of a whole kingdom. He's just this like has everything he wants. But you know what? One day he looks over his balcony. He's just living life, probably sipping on some orange juice in the morning. Just like life is good. And there's a lady on another balcony across the way taking a bath. And all of a sudden, he looks at her and says, she's beautiful. And he goes and has his servants invite her over to the house, and he ends up sleeping with her, and she's married. You know what? It gets even worse. Do you know why it gets worse? Because he's ashamed. That's why. And he doesn't know what to do. Her husband, I need to like figure this out. Because she gets pregnant. And so he tries to manipulate the situation and have her husband, who has been out with the army, to be with his wife. All of a sudden, look, his mind is working. 100 miles an hour trying to figure this out because he's ashamed. He's trying to make it so that nobody will know. That nobody will know that I did this thing. And that doesn't work out because this guy is so like vigilant and such a like honorable guy that he doesn't want to sleep in his house while the rest of the guys in the army are out there fighting. So he sleeps at the front gate of the palace. And David's like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? I'm trying to manipulate the situation, his shame. Listen, you know why I'm telling you this? Because look, anybody else gone through this? You don't have to raise your hand. I will, okay? I'll raise my hand. You don't have to. But we do that. Even if it's just a little thing or going all the way to where we're like, okay, I got to manipulate this situation so that I don't get found out. And this other actually, the thing that I did, I'm going to blame it on somebody else. Because somebody's got to take the fall and I don't want it to be me. And all of a sudden, I'm hiding. I'm doing this. And just it's like, it's crazy. You have Peter. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and Peter's like, I will die for you, Jesus. You're my guy. I'm your man. Look, just anything. Jesus is like, you know what? Actually, you're going to deny me real soon. 3 times? It's like it just keeps getting worse, you know? He's like, what? No way! No way that's gonna happen. I love you! I'm here for you. I will literally die for you. And he goes out and people's like, hey, you were the guy. You were the guy with Jesus. And he's like, what? No. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Wasn't me. I think it was. Little just walked in. Hey, no, you're the guy that was with Jesus. No, what? No. That was not me. It wasn't me. Some other guy. I've got that familiar face. And the Bible says that he goes out and he weeps bitterly. He weeps bitterly. He's ashamed. He's ashamed that he said that he would die for Jesus. He was there for him and walked right outside and denied him 3 times. Said, I don't know him. I don't know that guy. And he was ashamed. You know what the deal is that we've been dealing with this shame along with the sin that has been brought into the world from the beginning. I want to go to Genesis chapter 3. You have here Adam and Eve here living the good life. Do you know what the crazy thing is? Is that so many times we feel like there has to be something else. Even when we're living in the blessing of God. Even when we're living in the greenest pastures that we've seen in our entire life, and all of a sudden we look out and see this thing on the horizon, and somehow it looks greener, and so we say, I need that, when God says, I have blessed you right here. That's what I think about in these things that Adam and Eve, living in the garden that God created. Anybody, if God created a house or a place or whatever for you to live, think about that. He himself created it. And then he says, hey, just don't go in that room. We'd probably all mess up too, wouldn't we? I mean, it's like when we're out, Tori's like, don't look now. You can't help it. Just don't say anything. Just don't say it. Seriously. Just let it go. Because you know I'm going to turn as soon as you say something. But there's always this thing. It's pulling. Genesis 3:7. At that moment, their eyes were opened. They ate the fruit that Jesus, or that God, sorry, told them not to. Their eyes were opened, and suddenly they felt shame. Wow! Listen to this. I'm just going to tell you a couple of things that I feel whenever I'm reading this scripture. Their eyes were opened. Woo! There was something. There was something to this tree. I'm glad that I took a bite. My eyes were opened, and then I felt ashamed. Oh, shoot. They were opened to everything. The deal was is that God was actually trying to protect you. He was providing everything you needed right there in the garden. And keeping you safe and keeping you protected from stuff that you didn't even need to know, like shame. And so many times we're like, God, why won't you just do this? And he's like, I'm trying to keep you in a place where you don't have to feel that shame, where you don't have to feel this thing. But God, why aren't you doing this? Actually, you know what? You may not see it now, but I'm keeping you from a really hard thing that will happen if we go down this path. We think there's something that we have to have, and God says, just go with me. Just go with me. They felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. All of a sudden, they realized that they were naked. They were always naked. They never had clothes on. It wasn't a problem. There was no issue with it. Until they ate the fruit. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool of the evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden, which he did all the time. No surprise. God walked with them just in the cool of the day, just as the wind blows, he would come through, he would talk to them. How awesome. That's what he wants to do with us. That's who he wants to be to us, your Father, your God. When he's brought us in and adopted us, brought us in as heirs of his kingdom, he says, I want to walk with you just like the air that blows through and you feel the breeze on your face. I'm going to be there with you that much all the time. It says they heard the Lord God walking about the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Of course he knew, because he's God. But just like God, he's always trying to pull us to reveal ourselves to him. Instead of coming to force himself on us. Do you know why? It's because he knows that that is what is best for us. Because when we hide, We need to come out of hiding. Somebody comes chasing after me while I'm hiding, I will run to another place and hide. But if we make the decision to come out of hiding, God says, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Which is it's funny because they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves up. They were covered. But the covering, the facade, the things that we put around ourselves to try to hide because we've realized or we have this shame, you know what? It doesn't actually cover us up, so we keep running. We keep hiding. The fig leaves that we tie together and put around ourselves, they don't work. They don't do anything. It's this false sense of covering ourselves up or protecting ourselves and realizing even as soon as we do it that it doesn't work. And then God says, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" All of a sudden, they had eaten this fruit. They had done what God said not to do. They came into this place where they now realized. They brought themselves into this place where shame was taking over them, where sin now had a place in them and had a foothold. Now even in us for years, upon thousands and thousands of years later because of that act of sin. But I want to look and see because, you know, Adam and Eve, they went and hid in the trees, right? First they put the palm leaves around. First they tied those things together and it's like, woo, you know, you've seen the pictures. Anybody? When you're a kid, there's little palm leaves and you're like, oh, this is, I don't know. Should I see that? People with palm leaves. Oh. You know, and it's, they tried to hide that way and then they heard God and they're like, well, this isn't even gonna work. I'm running and hiding behind the biggest tree that I could find because I'm ashamed. And anybody do that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm not telling you to raise your hand, but we do that. I'm just going to tell you that we do, okay? We hide in our work. We hide in our hobbies. We hide on the computer. We hide on the TV. We hide in addictions. We hide in anything and everything. We go. We run. We cover ourselves up with busyness or doing something. Because we don't want to feel the shame. And the problem is that when we hide, it's not that God can't find us or that it actually covers us up or makes us better. We do need to hide, but we need to run and hide in God. We need to run into His arms because He's the only one that can not only put something on us to cover that stuff up, but you know what He did? He actually took it away. He says, "That's not yours. That's not who you are. That thing that happened to you or that thing that you did for a long time, I don't know, that it's not you. And you don't have to keep it. You don't have to hold on to it." And the problem that we have is that with the shame and with the covering and with the hiding, that we actually pull that in deeper inside and allow it to even hold onto a stronger. us as it might hurt a little bit. It might feel a little bit exposed. You don't have to expose like all the things that have happened in your life or what you've done to everybody, but you gotta expose that to God. And it's real good to allow other people to come into that place where they know it also and they can hold you accountable. But God says, where are you? Where are you? He knows. He just wants you to come out of hiding. Romans 6:20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. When you were slaves to sin, he's talking about us before we came to know Christ. He says, when you were slaves to sin, before you had Christ in your life, you were a slave to sin. You were free from the obligation of actually doing what was right. And what was the result? No good, actually. But you are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, I love this. It says you were a slave to sin, but now you're a slave to God. You're like, wait, what does that mean? What? A slave to God? It doesn't mean that God is going to put some chain around your neck and yank you around and whip you. You know what this means? I love this. And I have to remind myself of this too. But this is us saying, God, I want you so much. I need you so much in my life. I can't do it on my own. This mess, the shame, the sin, all this stuff in my past, everything that I couldn't actually get out of myself and you've saved me from. God, I can't do it. I have to cling and chain myself to you. It's like getting a rope and saying, God, sorry, but I'm tying myself to your leg. Like a little kid. With their legs and arms wrapped around a grown-up's leg. This is what this is saying. It's not saying God is going to be a slave master. It's saying, listen, God, this good, amazing Father that we have, he's so good that we should come under him like a slave comes under a master. He's not going to force it, right? He's going to call out to us, where are you? And I want to be like, look, just look down. I'm right there. Chained to your leg, God. That's what this is talking about. That is what I want to live like. But we have to realize, like it says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those. He does not condemn. It doesn't matter what the thing was, the issue, or the thing that you've dealt with. He doesn't condemn. He just asks you. He says, where are you? And wants you to say, here I am. Here I am. And the here I am is the first time that you're just kind of exposing that hiddenness. And then you just look down and you say, well, these leaves that got wrapped around myself, they're just not doing anything. I feel naked anyways. And you come in to God and allow Him to change those clothes. You got to allow Him to work on you, to cover you better than you could possibly do yourself. Just like He did with Adam and Eve. In Hebrews 6, it says, we don't have the scripture up there, but it says, therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there before us. We can have confidence in Christ because of Him. And I'll tell you, and you're like, I just don't know. Whenever we think that about doing it ourselves or getting better or getting freedom from addiction or healing or all these different things, we're like, I just don't know. And that is the pride in us, thinking that somehow it's us that does it. That it's us that covers up the shame, or it's us that somehow rips it out of us and gets rid of it, that somehow we could do something. That's the pride. When in reality, there's nothing that we can do. But the amazing thing is that there's nothing we need to do ourselves besides saying, here I am. When God says, where are you? Running and hiding in Him. Running into His arms instead of running into the shadows and trying to cover up. Running to His hope and His love and His healing. Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.